At the introit of this morning's Mass, we pray from the 44th Psalm, My heart hath uttered a good word. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today the Church commemorates Saint Bruno, the founder of one of the strictest orders in Christendom, the Carthusians. They only spoke once a week, and they lived apart, and each one in his own sort of little condo, all by himself and in silent prayer. He is depicted, usually, Saint Bruno is, the way we tell the little ones to come to the communion rail before they make their first communion, with one finger over the lips to signify silence. But it is not about silence, rather speech, that I would like to speak to you this morning. Consider with me the Rosary this Sunday and see how it makes us, whenever we say it, to say many good words. Hail Mary and Our Father and Glory Bees. Now would that all of these words were from, as King David says, our heart. My heart hath uttered a good word. When St. Teresa had trouble praying, either staying awake or staying focused, not being distracted, or simply to mean what she said, she would slow down. She would, and this she took from big St. Teresa, the foundress of the Reformed Carmelite sisters, centuries before, she used to do this too. She would just say one Our Father very slowly, and then one Hail Mary very slowly, the same fashion. And she would always get a good result. But how hard it was for her when it came to stringing these Our Fathers and Hail Marys together. These vocal prayers, which are taught to us by our Lord, the Archangel Gabriel, Saint Elizabeth, and Holy Mother Church herself. How hard it was for her to put those prayers together with some little meditations on the meaning of each mystery for the decades. When I am alone, she wrote, very frankly, I am ashamed to admit it, but she did. The recitation of the Rosary is more difficult for me than wearing an instrument of penance. I force myself in vain to meditate on the mysteries of the Rosary. I don't succeed in fixing my mind on them. For a long time, I was desolate about this lack of devotion that astonished me. For I love the Blessed Virgin so much that it should be easy for me to recite in her honor prayers that are so pleasing to her. Now I am less desolate. I think that the Queen of Heaven, since she is my mother, must see my goodwill, and she is satisfied with it. And at the end of her life, in the last few weeks, once thinking of the Rosary, she sighed and said, when I think of how much trouble I've had all my life trying to recite the Rosary. When I read these words, I'm comforted as much for myself as for you. This candid confession, speaking, the saint does, very frankly about her difficulties in prayer. With St. Teresa, we could say, surely, we love the Blessed Virgin very much. Surely, it should be easy for us to recite a prayer which is so pleasing to her. But is it, for some of you, some days, a real penance to pray your Rosary? Well, of course it is, sometimes just to set the time aside before we're too tired at night to be able to finish it. But if you live with others, this is a blessing. You can pray the rosary together with others. When she did it that way, St. Teresa says she didn't have so many problems. Remember the suggestion after the evening meal, before anyone leaves the family table, just have on the wall, on pegs, some rosaries. Have lots of rosaries. They're blessed. They're a powerful sacramental. Don't be cheap about it. No, have lots of rosaries. And it's right on the wall. Just reach one to every member of the family and just say your rosary before you budge from the table after supper. And when you're alone, well, have a rosary in the car, as people you see sometimes hang one from the rear view mirror, and say it when you're alone. And if there are others there, say it with them too. It makes the time pass more agreeably and more profitably. But to say it well, with those little Dominican style meditations on the mysteries, would we perhaps be troubled, just as this Carmelite sister was, finding it so difficult to meditate on the mysteries? Of course, remember, she prayed quietly for an hour every morning and an hour every evening. And she admitted, St. Teresa did, she never went 2 or 3 minutes of her conscious life without actually thinking about God. But still, she had time, a hard time with her rosary. This maybe should show us that this simplest of prayer, the prayer that keeps our hands occupied and our lips and our head and our heart, is like prayer itself, the Ars Artium, the art of arts, not to be taken for granted. That's why it's good to pray before we pray. St. Louis de Montfort recommends the prayer to the Holy Ghost before the rosary. And the Italians in the old days used to start the rosary with the same prayer that we use to start the divine office. O God, come to my assistance. O Lord, make haste to help me. But I think that St. Teresa's troubles should comfort us. That is to say, the saints struggled. St. Gregory the Great famously says, the doubt of Thomas strengthens me more in my faith than do the devout tears of Mary Magdalene. It's good to know, we should never forget, that the saints had their struggles too, and that they fell as well. Remember this, and remember in whose honor you pray. I am less desolate now. I think that the Queen of Heaven, since she is my mother, must see my goodwill, and she is satisfied with it. This sensible, spiritual approach from the greatest saint of modern times. She was one of the first to do what most people do today. That is to say, there's no pretense. They say everything, just exactly what they think. It's hard to get used to that style of speech if you are raised another way. And you have to give credit to this Francis, Pope Frank, you could call him, because of his frank style of discourse. Now, after 50 years, he's hanging all of his laundry out on the line. He's letting you know exactly the kind of a new religion that he has in mind for us. That is to say, counting rosaries? No way. That's heretical. That's for the Pelagians. Making converts? He told that Italian atheist in his last interview, that's solemn nonsense. I wonder what the apostles would say about that. And the faith itself? Why, he denied that there is a Catholic God, which is apostasy, to say there is maybe a divine person out there, the supreme architect of the universe, as the Masons say, and nothing more. And about the problems of the church, he said the two greatest problems are unemployment of our youth and the loneliness of old age. Well, of course, the old people are lonely today because they have no children and no grandchildren anymore. And that's due to birth control and to abortion, which they have been silently sanctioning that and worse for so long. The greatest problem for the church today is that people don't pray. They don't pray well. They don't utter from their heart what they really mean in there. Nor do they consider with head and heart the words uttered by the eternal Word of God, the whole story of his life. God made man through Mary so that we one day might be happy with God forever in heaven. They don't think of these things, not at all. If they did, they wouldn't sin, and the same goes for you and for me. Now, if saints insist on this, if only people would pray this way, would meditate, why, they wouldn't go to hell. But as it is, our whole country, the whole of Christendom, is going right there, as they say, in a handbasket, as Jeremiah predicted of old, already in the Old Covenant. With desolation is the land made desolate, because there is no one to consider in his heart. I am not here this morning to say it is easy to pray. That's for the Novus Ordo religion. It's not. It may indeed be a penance for you every day of your life. But didn't Our Lady ask for penance right up there with prayer at Fatima? And speaking frankly, I would like to remind you that the greatest saint of modern times, St. Pius X, said, found this particular prayer to which we dedicate this glorious Sunday so difficult her whole life long. But she never gave up. She knew that her imperfect efforts were pleasing to the Mother of God, because those efforts came from where? Not just from the head or the imagination, nor from a feeling in the heart, but they were uttered in her heart of hearts, her soul, devotion, deep and true. Felt or not, it made no difference. And speaking frankly, as they do today, let me assure you that for our Blessed Mother, that is enough. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.